Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Montana State and Kansas State just heading into halftime. Kansas State up 34-28. Arizona State up on TCU. Hey now, 43-37. Watch out, those Devils. And Indiana is up by 5 against Kent State, 19-14. I'll keep you posted throughout. Also, we've got a golf tournament that's taking place this weekend. It is the Valspar. We've got 3 golf tournaments taking place before the majors, which is going to be really exciting. And right now, Adam Shank is at the top leaderboard. He's 7 under, but right below him is Kramer Hickok, and he's 6 under. This is a cat that I liked coming in. So he's got with Data Golf, he's got an 8% chance of winning this tournament, and you could get him right now at 9-1 to win the tournament. You could also get him at +165 to finish in the top 5. I'd do it. I liked him coming in, and he was 3 under today. So now he's sitting second on the leaderboard. If you want Jordan Spieth, who's tied for 3rd, he's 5 under. He's only 2 shots back. Wouldn't blame you. Data Golf has him as a 14% chance of winning this at 5-1. And also Fleetwood is also tied for 3rd at 5 under. Data Golf has him at a 9% chance of winning this, and you could get him at 7-1. But my money is rolling on Hickok. Love that he's sitting there just one shot back, and a big reason, loved him coming in regards to the metrics. Putting well, doing all the things that you need to do in order to win at the Valspar, that's for sure. Again, Andre Snellings, we heard from him earlier. Him and I had a discussion earlier today on my bet show. Some of the hot topics out there. And then of course, we incorporate gambling. And one of them is the fact that Embiid now is favored -115 to win the MVP. Jokic, just 7 days ago, was -400. But boy, has the tide turned. Let's listen in.
The most wanted man right now on these ESPN platforms, talking all things college basketball. But let's bring in Dre. Dre, how you doing? I'm wearing my Aaron Rodgers Jets t-shirt. We're all on Aaron Rodgers watch right here all over New York and New Jersey. So, you know, I got to sport it, dude.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And, you know, I'm always NFL, but I'm a Bengals guy. So I'm on Orlando Brown celebration. We got us an offensive lineman.
Yes. By the way, I knew his father, Zeus. I used to have a sports talk radio with Zeus. Big fan of Orlando Brown, and I do like the Bengals to win the championship this coming year. But let's talk some NBA. We always like to start off Friday with the good word. Here we go. Embiid, now the favorite to win the MVP at -115. Jokic was 4-1 7 days ago. What has changed? What is your good word, Dre?
Torch, as in it's time to pass the torch. Jokic has been the back-to-back MVP. He beat Embiid directly. They went 1-2 each of the last 2 years. But this year, Embiid has finally done enough to surpass the Joker. We'll talk a little bit, talk more about this a little later in the show. But just quick summary, Embiid has a slightly better statistical footprint. His team has a slightly better record. He outplayed Jokic handily head-to-head this season. And it's just his turn. So I just think it's time for the torch to pass from the Joker to the troll.
I'm going to use the word fleeced, as in robbed, if the Joker doesn't win it. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, because the last few weeks, he's like maybe assist or a rebound away from a triple-double. Dude averages a triple-double every night. I can't remember the last time Embiid put up a triple-double. He only averages about 3 assists a game. So, oh, by the way, this is, last time I remembered, this was a team sport. Now, it'd be one thing if you're telling me, like, okay, the MVP is given to a dude who's like, who goes one-on-one on a basketball court, right? but that's not the case. And I understand the Nuggets, they've been losing as of late. The 76ers, they're 8-3 with a plus 7.9 point differential the last few weeks, but it is a team sport. I do believe that if the Joker does not get the MVP, he will have been fleeced. That is my good word. Question number two, the Bucks. This is interesting, Trey. The Bucks are favored to win the NBA title, but they are second favorite behind Boston coming out of the East. What's your good word?
Djokovic, as in the other Joker. So for you tennis fans out there, the debate for like a decade was Roger Federer or Rafa Nadal. You know, who was the best? Who was going to end up with the most majors? When in reality, it turns out the debate should have been Rafa versus Djokovic. And that applies here because the debate in the East and to win the championship shouldn't, in my opinion, be the Bucks versus the Celtics. It should be the Bucks versus the 76ers, with the 76ers in that Djokovic role. And so, you know, the Celtics, like Federer, started off the season really strong. They were the best team for the first 3 months of the season. But since both the Bucks and the 76ers have started getting healthier, they've since caught up and surpassed the Celtics. And in our ESPN Basketball Power Index, BPI stat, the Bucks and the 76ers are now 1-2 in the East. So they are the two that should be competing for the East and the championship, with the 76ers in that Djokovic role, which, by the way, makes them good value at 12-1 to win the championship and 5.5-1 to win the East.
So my good word is schedule here. I went online to look at the schedule, the remaining schedule, just a few weeks left in the regular season. The Bucks' strength of schedule is a tad more difficult than Boston. You know, they still have to, the Bucks still have to face the Nuggets. They still have to face the Grizzlies. Also, the Bucks have not been as consistent as Boston has. I think also Boston, they're starting to get healthier health-wise, and they're peaking at the right time. To me, that's the only reason why I think this makes sense. I still like the Bucks to represent the East. And I do believe that they will get the number one seed in the East, but only time will tell. We'll see. Let's talk some college hoops. Here's your question. After yesterday, wow, what a wild Thursday it was. Can't wait for today. I've got my three TVs set up in my living room. Not sure if you follow me on Twitter what my setup is. It's actually quite good. A number two seed will win the NCAA tournament, and you could get that at plus 330. Dre, are you playing it? What's your good word?
Fat Joe, as in the rapper Fat Joe. He's gone viral in recent weeks for making the statement that yesterday's price is not today's price. And so yesterday at this time, I think this might have been a good bet. But since yesterday at this time, Arizona went out and lost and destroyed a whole bunch of people's brackets. There are still three good two seeds out there, but I think that if you check, Arizona was probably the two seed that was winning the championship on the most brackets coming in. So with them down and now there's only three left and arguably those three aren't as strong as Arizona was, I'm fading a two seed to win the tournament now because like Fat Joe said, yesterday's price is not today's price.
So my good word is possibly. Obviously, Arizona's gone, so now we're talking about 3-2 still remaining. Texas, listen, Houston, that game against Northern Kentucky, too close for comfort for me. I think at one point in time, Northern Kentucky was leading. Of course, Houston, they pulled it out in the end, but the score of 63-52 does not indicate just how close that game was. UCLA, they look great late last night, but can they do it against better competition, especially Gonzaga and UConn coming out of that region of death? And then I've got Marquette losing to either Michigan State, Kentucky, or Tennessee. So possibly, if I had to say one, I'd probably lean towards Texas more than any other, but possibly is my good word.
So again, a nice fun little segment I do with Dre, talking about some of the hottest topics in or around sport, and then bringing it full circle and talking about how you could gamble on it. So there's that. Number two seeds that did advance again, UCLA, Texas, Marquette, Arizona, we know is gone. Purdue is gone. How about that? FDU taking down Purdue. And as I said earlier, on ESPN, the bracket challenge on ESPN, there is not one perfect bracket left now that Purdue was upset by Fairleigh Dickinson. So really, really unbelievable. And big shout out to them and of course, the university and Tobin Anderson, who was so kind to be on my radio show this past weekend, which was really, really great. When we get back, we'll hear from Rich Cimini. Him and I have a discussion about what the status is right now with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and what this means pertaining to AFC East futures bets. So we'll dive into that next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talking all things XFL. So we'll go from NFL to XFL. The XFL last night had a late game. Tip-off was like at 10:30, something like that, because they played in Seattle. The Roughnecks lost to the Sea Dragons 21-14. It was shocking because the Roughnecks, the best team in the XFL, and the Sea Dragons were sitting there at 2-2. But we've got three games on the docket over the weekend, one on Saturday and two on Sunday, or two on Saturday and one on Sunday, something like that. So Greg's going to join me to break it down. Stormy Bonantani is going to join me to break it down, and she's going to be at the best game, which I think this week for the XFL is the Battlehawks going up against the DC Defenders. She will be right there on the sidelines. So we'll get you some XFL plays coming your way momentarily. But let's listen in again. Earlier this week, Rich Cimini was kind enough to join me on that Bet Digital Gambling show, talking all things Aaron Rodgers and where the situation stands right now with Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, more importantly, and the Green Bay Packers. Let's listen in.
Bring in Rich Cimini. Again, he does a phenomenal job covering the Jets for us here at ESPN. And Rich, as I said before we started the show, probably one of the most wanted men on the planet right now, because you have your finger on the pulse of better than most. So let's talk about Aaron. As we know, he went on Pat McAfee's show earlier today, and what he communicated was that he wants to play for the Jets, right? He met with the Jets. He gave the Jets a list of some of the players, his guys that he wants on this team. So far, of course, Lazard now has been signed. Some other names out there, Mercedes Lewis, Randall Cobb, even mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. So with that being said, you know, what do you feel, what other moves do you feel the Jets are going to make in the next few hours, days, in regard to the group of players that Aaron wants on this Jets team, this Jets franchise?
Yeah, I think Aaron joked about that a little bit on the McAfee show today. He said this wasn't like a list of demands that he wanted to make from the Jets. And I think he's right. From what I gather, this is more of a collaborative thing. The Jets said to him, hey, Aaron, who are some players you'd comfortable with playing with? And of course, he mentioned some former teammates. I do expect that Alan Lazard deal to get done shortly. Randall Cobb, I think there's a good chance he ends up with the Jets. Now, they already have a good slot receiver in Elijah Moore, but I think Randall Cobb could come in as a backup slot. I'd be very surprised if they signed Odell Beckham Jr. The Jets do not have a lot of cap room, and he is asking for a lot of money. I think that would be a luxury for the Jets. And same with Mercedes Lewis. The Jets actually have a few good tight ends, so I don't think that would happen. But I do think they might get that Randall Cobb thing done eventually.
Well, Rich, you mentioned cap space. If you can kind of break this down for us, right? Like, how are the Jets being able to afford, Aaron Rodgers? And what do you feel after that deal's done potentially could be available for other players? We know that there's some offensive line help that this team desperately needs, especially if they're bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's too bad he should get some of his BFFs who are offensive linemen to come with him to New York, because that's where the Jets need the help. They also lost two defensive tackles today in free agency, so they need some help there as well. In terms of the cap space, they can manipulate the cap. Rodgers is not going to crush their cap. Under his existing contract, he would only count $16 million on the Jets' cap. Now, I say existing contract because I totally expect that contract to be reworked in the coming days when that trade happens. So conceivably, he could count less on the cap. So I think there is some maneuverability for the Jets to bring in some more players.
So have you gotten an idea? Of course, we heard what Aaron had to say. Have you gotten an idea in regard to what the terms of the deal could potentially look like? Because all we know right now is Aaron wants to come to New York. He wants to play for the Jets. The only thing that's holding it up is the deal between the Green Bay Packers and the Jets. What do you know about that potential deal?
Right. I think I feel comfortable in saying this. They wouldn't be this far down the road if the Jets didn't feel comfortable with what the Packers are asking for. I don't think the Jets would have left themselves this vulnerable, because they've missed out on a bunch of other quarterbacks because they have all their eggs in the Rodgers basket. So I don't think there's a huge gap in what they're looking for compensation-wise. I think the big question is, will it include a first-round pick? I don't think the Jets want to give up a first-round pick for a 39-year-old quarterback who may only play a year or two. So I think you're looking at something like maybe two twos, two threes, but also a conditional aspect attached to one of those picks.
All right, Rich, I need to ask, because we're on the precipice of March Madness. Do you have a March Madness play? Who do you think wins the big dance this season?
Well, Anita, you're talking to a Syracuse grad, so for obvious reasons, I'm not as into the tournament as I usually am. We had a rough year with the Orange, but if I had to pick someone, I would say Duke coming out of the East. I know they're the number 5 seed, it'll be a difficult road, but I watched them recently. Love the way they're playing defense. They're a young team that seems to be peaking at the right time, so that would be my choice.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rich. It's going to be a fun few 24, 48 hours until this all, of course, reveals itself. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
And here we are on this Saturday night at 11:23 p.m., and it still has not revealed itself. Jets fans, I'm sure, waiting anxiously. Word that this deal is done and a trade has been made. I personally feel that, and not to point blame, but I do feel that the Jets are in this situation because Aaron could not, and again, I don't, a few things. Number one, in his interview with McAfee, he said that he, prior to him going into that black box of darkness for how many other days he was in there, he was 90% leaning towards retirement. Okay. He comes out of the black box. The Jets meet with Derek Carr. It's evident that, especially with Nathaniel Hackett being hired here, that Rodgers was the number one priority or desire of quarterback for the Jets. So, but in waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, Derek Carr goes to the Saints. Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the Raiders. Baker Mayfield goes to the Tampa Bay Bucks. So what's happened now is the Jets are desperate. Like, I'm sure a lot of their plan B now is not a plan at all. So now, you know, the Green Bay Packers have all this leverage, a ton of leverage, because this has taken so long to, you know, does Aaron really want to play? Does he want to come play for the Jets? Does he not? You know, in other quarterbacks, knowing that Aaron Rodgers was the Jets' priority. If I'm Derek Carr, I'm going to another team as well. If I'm not your priority, right, I'm going to go somewhere else. So it's a bad situation, because now, you know, the Green Bay Packers have all the leverage, and they probably want that number one overall pick. And the Jets probably don't want to give it up for a quarterback that, who knows, might only be here for 1 year. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what, though. You could get the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East at plus 135. Even with Aaron Rodgers on this Jets team, I still think the Bills win the division. I think the Jets get in as a wild card. I think they win games. But I still think the Bills will be the best division, the best team in this division. And because of all of this, right now, you could get the Bills to win the AFC East at plus 135. These numbers will never be this good again. So that is how I would roll if I were you. When we come back, we'll continue to talk some football, but let's talk some XFL. Let's get you some plays that you can bite into, win some money this weekend in the XFL. That next, right here on Weekend Wager, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Quick reminder again, I'm not on tomorrow afternoon, but I will be back on Sunday morning getting you ready for Sunday action as well. But it's time to get you ready for XFL. Again, Greg McElroy was kind enough to join me on my digital bet show earlier this week to talk about the XFL. Let's listen in.
I'm really big into the XFL. I'm excited that we're heading into week 5 and we've got some interesting matchups. So let's start first and foremost. On Thursday night, late night on Thursday night, you've got Houston going up against Seattle. Houston favored by 3. The over-under here is 41.5. How are you playing this matchup?
Well, I think you look at this and you look at the fact that Houston scored 44 last week by themselves. They're going up against Seattle, the number one passing attack in the XFL. You got to take the over, right? Oh, no, not me. I'm taking 41.5 and I'm taking the under. The reason why, both teams run variations of the run and shoot / air raid, meaning that Wade Phillips, who's the head coach of the Houston Roughnecks, he's going to be going up against an offense that he sees every single day in practice. You think he's not going to have some type of plan? These two teams are so eerily familiar with each other. The offensive coordinator at Seattle is June Jones. He was the head coach of the Houston Roughnecks the last time around. So there's a lot of familiarity here. And I just think that number just south of the football number of 42 makes me lean towards the under just a little bit. But man, it doesn't feel very comfortable to me. I got to be very honest with you there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what does feel comfortable, Greg, and that is Houston. I'll lay the points with Houston again. They're just so good, right? I mean, not only are they 4-0 this season, but if you go back pre-COVID when the league had to shut down, they're 9-0. They beat Orlando 44-16. Not a surprise there. I was laying the, I want to say at kickoff, it was 9 against Orlando. I know it's a short work week. That might scare some folks. Of course, heading out and having to play on the road, but Seattle, not to take anything away from DiNucci and Josh Gordon, and we've seen that offense develop and get better in weeks, and Ellison, of course, at the running back position. I just think Houston's too good. So I will lay the points. On Saturday, we've got a few games. One of my favorite teams. I love watching DC play. They're going up against St. Louis. In St. Louis, huge fan base, right? Like 30, almost 40,000 fans there. Really unbelievable. DC is favored by 2. The over-under here is at 41.5 as well. What's your play?
Well, this one to me reeks because you have the undefeated team obviously facing off against the most difficult home environment, right? Everyone watched 38,000 strong. It was one of the highest rated games of the weekend last weekend. So everybody watched St. Louis in their own dome. People going crazy, and Arlington really struggled against them. St. Louis had by far their most complete performance to date en route to what was a thorough beatdown of the Arlington Renegades. All that being said, I can't believe DC's favored. It's one of those, like, how is St. Louis not favored here? I'm shocked, which means you got to take DC, right? You almost have to. They've been the most complete team in the XFL up to this point. I know you love Houston. I like DC just a little bit better right now. But ultimately, I think it's purely because this line just smells really bad. I'm going to hold my nose. I'm going to lay the points with the road favorite, and just hope that the more complete team beats the team that's played much better in the fourth quarter of every game this year.
Listen, like I said earlier, you know, I like AJ McCarron. I think he's the best quarterback in this league. I love the fan base. I love the excitement. But I'm with you. I'm laying the points with DC because this is a team. They're 4-0 on the season. They beat the Vipers last week, 32-18. I love that. Here's the thing. I think very few of these teams, Greg, they don't have an identity yet. I feel DC does, right? Smash mouth football, very balanced offense. I love their dual quarterback play. They don't do anything exceptionally great, but they do a lot of things well. And so I'm with you. I think there's something stinky and smelly about this line. So I'm with you. I like DC. I'll lay the points. On Sunday, we've got San Antonio going up against the Arlington Renegades. And so this line right now, San Antonio is favored by 2. And the over-under just is 35.5. There we go. I couldn't see my notes. So what's your play in this matchup on Saturday?
Well, two offenses that have really struggled. San Antonio actually just recently reassigned their offensive coordinator, Jaime Elizondo. He's now not going to be calling plays anymore. They promoted him within. Jimmy Johnson now going to be the guy. But ultimately, this comes down to short fields. And if I have learned anything from watching Arlington up to this point, is that there's going to be turnovers forced, and there's also going to be forced turnovers. And I think they might be on both sides. So I love the over in this game of 35.5. I think it flies past that. It's the short field, and all the Arlington games have been kind of close to the vest up to this point. But I just get the sense that this thing could get a little bit sideways. I'm also taking San Antonio, and I'm going to lay the 2 points. Like St. Louis, like Seattle, like DC, San Antonio has had a very compelling home field environment. I think that will be a factor, especially if turnovers are as much a part of the game as I anticipate them being. So give me San Antonio with a revamped offensive core, forcing a few turnovers, forcing a couple short fields, and ultimately winning the game comfortably by a field goal or so.
I'm with you, lockstep. I'm taking San Antonio. I'm going to lay the points as well. New offensive coordinator Jimmy Johnson can make some noise. I know they lost to Seattle 15-18, but I'm feeling a quarterback change coming here shortly. And more importantly, you know, to me, the Renegades, you know, it's hard. They lost to St. Louis last week. Now this will be their second straight road trip. So I'm with you. I'm on San Antonio. Real quick, you've got the Vipers taking on the worst team in the XFL in Orlando, laying 7.5. I'll lay it. If you're scared, say you're scared. I'm not. Are you playing this one?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to play it. I'd lay it. I've watched Orlando. I've seen them try everything. I don't like it. To me, that team is really struggling. Very little offensive identity. Defensively, they've struggled. They've gotten off to really slow starts. If they get off to a decent start and run the football, they might be able to hang in there. But I think that Vegas is still a team that has some juice. They completely shot themselves in the foot week one. They've had opportunities to move the football, just haven't been consistent enough. So I'm going to take Vegas. I'm going to lay the points. And until proven otherwise, you cannot take the Guardians. Not right now, you can. Not saying they can't get things turned around, but in the first half of the season, they're a very difficult team, even to take north of a touchdown worth of points with.
Again, I want to thank Greg McElroy, who joined me on, of course, that Bet Digital show, giving us a really, really good preview of the XFL and what's coming up this weekend. Just to recap, the bets that I'm on, and this is for the three remaining games that are going to be taking place. Of course, the Roughnecks, they lost to the Sea Dragons 21-14. Just goes to show you, that was last night, anything is possible. So the Battle Hawks, I like the Battle Hawks getting the two against DC. The Battle Hawks, their home crowd, they almost had 40,000 people in attendance. It's really unbelievable. In my opinion, they have the best quarterback in A.J. McCarron. They've got a balanced offense. Defense, I think, is going to be able to limit the DC defenders' rushing attack. So give me the Battle Hawks plus two. I'm going to take the Guardians plus 7.5. I just think it's too many points against the Vipers. And Paxton Lynch actually looked pretty solid to me against the Roughnecks last week. And the Vipers are coming in with a new offensive coordinator. So I do like the Guardians getting the 7.5. And last but not least, give me the Brahmas minus 2 against the Renegades. The Renegades have quarterback issues, turnovers, inexperience, and they're 0-2 on the road. I also like the under in this matchup at 35.5. So those would be my three plays heading into this weekend. Quick break. We come back. Another ESPN talent who's part of the XFL broadcast team covering the XFL, Stormy Bonantani, is going to join us next with a great preview of the XFL games coming our way this weekend. So hang tight. We'll hear from Stormy next right here on Weekend Wager, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.